Welcome and thank you for joining us today as we continue our second podcast series, Conquering Cancer Together. I am your host, Dr. Marianne Fragola, Chief of Wellness Services here at New York Cancer and Blood Specialists. This series is made possible thanks to a generous grant from Pfizer, who has joined us in our mission to provide world-class, patient-centered, affordable care to patients with cancer and blood disorders in their communities, close to family and friends. Throughout this series, we plan to continue to bring light on some of the current issues within community oncology. We have had some great discussions thus far, and today are going to focus more on a specific type of lung cancer called ALK-positive lung cancer. ALK-positive lung cancer is a specific subtype characterized by a genetic mutation in the ALK gene. This mutation makes it particularly responsive to targeted therapies, leading to better treatment outcomes. It is more common in younger patients and non-smokers. Identifying ALK-positive status is essential for selecting the most effective treatment and improving survival rates. I am excited to have Dr. Amishi Desai joining us today for our expert discussion. Dr. Desai has been with New York Cancer and Blood Specialists for over 5 years. She runs the lung cancer screening program, and her main interest is thoracic malignancy. Welcome, and thank you so much for being here.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for having me here.
Before we break down the exact ALK mutation and what ALK means, can you give us a brief overview of non-small cell lung cancer in general?
So lung cancer, as we know, is the number one cause of malignancy in the world. Lung cancer can be divided into non-small cell lung cancer and small cell lung cancer. Today, we're going to specifically talk about non-small cell lung cancer, which is again usually divided into adenocarcinoma and squamous cell carcinoma. In the olden days, this was it. This is all we needed to know whether it's adenocarcinoma or squamous cell carcinoma. But now, on every non-small cell lung cancer, we do genetic testing and NGS sequencing to find out specific targeted mutations. And there are multiple types of mutations, the most common being EGFR, the second most common being ALK mutation, which is present in about 4% of the population. The third most common is ROS1 mutation. These are the three most common mutations that can happen. And the other most important thing we test in non-small cell lung cancer patient is PD-L1 levels to check how good their candidates are they for immunotherapy.
A common question we get all the time is, why can't I have immunotherapy, right? I'm sure you hear that all the time. Can you explain a little about why we pick certain therapies for certain mutations?
Exactly. So immunotherapy, almost every patient now can get immunotherapy regardless of their PD-L1 status. But if a patient has EGFR, ALK, or ROS mutation, they are much less likely to respond to immunotherapy. And for that reason, we say that once you get a lung cancer diagnosis, to not jump to treatment immediately until we have the mutation status back. Because again, if you have one of the mutations, you could target that, which would work much better than just doing a generalized systemic therapy. The only time I would start chemotherapy plus minus immunotherapy is in patient who's having visceral crisis or, you know, is extremely symptomatic. Other than that, I would wait for the mutation testing to come back to specifically choose that population who has the mutation, and also toxicity wise it would be much better tolerated.
The typical workup when somebody first presents to you with, let's say, a potential lung cancer, what do you start with? Is it imaging first? Is it pulmonology first? How do you direct that patient that has so many questions up front?
The first thing, you know, they're coming to a cancer office, so they're too overwhelmed. So the first thing we try to tell them is, yes, you have lung cancer, that's the bad news, but lung cancer in today's day and age is very treatable, no matter what it is. So that's, you know, let's get to the bottom of what type of lung cancer you have, what's going on, so we can focus on treatment. The first step we do, of course, is imaging. So usually when they present to us, they've had either an X-ray or a CT chest with their primary doctor, and then they come to us. So the next step we do, of course, is a PET scan to look for distant metastases and just to kind of give a staging. If they are big tumors or if they are high risk, we also get a brain MRI to look for brain metastases. And of course, the most important part is the biopsy. So the biopsy is done in two ways. It's either done as interventional radiation, radiology, fine needle or core needle aspiration of a peripheral mass, or if there is a central mediastinal or lymph node, then we can do a bronchoscopy / EBUS to get like a biopsy of that lymph node. Either ways, we need a biopsy, and we always nowadays ask for core biopsy rather than just FNA, so that we have more tissue to send, especially for NGS testing and for biomarkers like ALK mutation. So we need a bigger sample for that. So we ask for a core biopsy.
What is an ALK mutation and what does ALK stand for?
So ALK gene is a type of lung cancer biomarker. ALK stands for anaplastic lymphoma kinase. It was originally described in lymphoma, but most ALK-positive cancers are in non-small cell lung cancer. ALK gene is in your body when you are an embryo and helps in the development of the gut and nervous system. It gets turned off while you are still in the womb, and for some people, it gets turned back on and fuses or joins with another gene. This gene change is called ALK fusion or ALK rearrangement and can cause cancer. When this fusion happens, a patient is said to be ALK positive. The most common gene that ALK fuses with is called EML4, and this is the most common type of mutation that we see in non-small cell lung cancer.
So we talked a little about how this happens, but then how is it tested?
Exactly. There are multiple ways of testing this. It is standard of care now to test all non-small cell lung cancer patients with this mutation, even in early stages. So to determine if your lung cancer is ALK positive, you need to test the tumor tissue or your blood called liquid biopsy. There are different ways your doctor can do this. The first and the most convenient way we do this is the FISH analysis. FISH analysis looks at changes in the chromosomes through tissue under a microscope. Immunohistochemistry, called IHC, looks for proteins in the cell under a microscope. Next-gen sequencing, NGS, also called comprehensive biomarker testing, is when tissue from a patient's tumor, which is usually gathered from a biopsy, is placed in a machine that looks for many possible biomarkers at one time. Reverse transcription polymerase chain reaction, called RT-PCR, is a laboratory method used to make many copies of a specific genetic sequence for analysis. So any of these three methods can detect ALK fusion mutation, which would help us determine next course of action.
And this is a silly question, but for lay people out there, there's nothing we can do to avoid this happening. It just happens genetically.
Yes, absolutely. This happens genetically. It's actually one of a good prognostic markers in lung cancer to have this, as we'll talk ahead that there is targeted therapy for this. So this actually means good prognosis if someone has this mutation.
And typically, what type of patient is most likely to have this ALK-positive lung cancer?
So ALK-positive lung cancer represents about 4% of lung cancer diagnosis and generally appears in non-small cell lung cancer. Patients who are ALK-positive tend to be younger than the average lung cancer patient and do not have a smoking history. But all patients with advanced non-squamous, non-small cell lung cancer should be tested for ALK rearrangements.
Do you often see elderly patients as well? I know it's more common in younger patients, but they can present.
Exactly.
Any age.
Once in a while, you can see an elderly patient who is a smoker with an ALK-positive mutation, but it's not the typical presentation.
And then can we discuss how this type of cancer is typically treated and the typical life expectancy?
Okay. So this type of cancer that we call ALK-positive non-small cell lung cancer is treated with targeted therapy that directly targets the ALK mutation with several tyrosine kinase inhibitors that we have available. The prognosis of this cancer is excellent compared to other types of non-small cell lung cancer because, again, it can be targeted with a pill. And this type of cancer happens in non-smokers, younger population who are otherwise healthier, and it has a better prognosis.
So their performance status definitely helps. And then we see the life expectancy change with these new therapies. Have you seen the extension of life?
Absolutely. Non-small cell lung cancer has transformed completely, and it is nothing like what it was years ago, where the treatment was only chemotherapy. With newer tyrosine kinase inhibitors that are available to us, especially the second generation ones, which also cross the blood-brain barrier, these have definitely changed the way these cancers respond. They respond longer, progression-free survival is longer, overall survival is better, and of course, life expectancy is higher.
This is amazing. So we hear about a lot of these terms. We hear targeted therapy, precision medicine, biomarker testing. Can you explain what all of these mean and how they improve outcomes when we are able to do these targeted therapies?
So to explain this simply, think about cancer in olden times being treated only with chemotherapy. Chemotherapy is what you get like via IV or pill, and it targets the entire body. It does not differentiate. It just goes and targets rapidly growing cells, and that's what it does. Targeted therapy, as the name suggests, you know, as time has passed and with so much research, we are now looking for every cancer diagnosis. We do something called NGS, next genomic sequencing, which basically on the tissue tests for different genetic mutations. And with research and studies, we have developed a lot of therapies for each of these mutations. I kind of explain it to my patients. It's like cutting food supply to the cancer. So the cancer is feeding on these mutations, and you, how can you cut off food supply and starve the cancer by targeting these specific mutation? So it kind of makes sense that when you target them specifically as opposed to generalized chemotherapy, the specific targeted therapy works much better, and that is what targeted therapy is all about.
So does that spare some of the toxicity? Being you're targeting this, we're not talking about systemic therapy. We're eliminating some of these other toxicities, and they can stay on this a little bit longer.
Exactly. The toxicity profile of targeted therapy is very different. You know, yes, the toxicity is much less severe than chemotherapy, but it has other kinds of toxicity that, you know, you can get rash, you can get like immunotherapy related side effects. They are very different kind of side effects, but yes, it does limit the side effect.
So we try to be aware of those profiles, but have you seen patients being on therapy long term?
Oh, absolutely. And it also, like I said, it's also tolerated by your older population, poor performance status, who cannot get chemotherapy. These patients, for targeted therapy, age is not a criteria. Anyone and everyone can get these pills because, again, the side effect profile is so much better and it's tolerable. Usually targeted therapy is a pill. So, again, it's much more feasible and a much more attractive option.
When we talk about data that's out there for over 5 years of treatment and the long-term toxicities we just discussed, how do we support our patients?
So that's a very good point. You know, especially knowing the side effect profile of these medications, we can support them with supportive care measures. And we know, we beforehand know what toxicity these can cause, like lung toxicity. So screening, you know, their lung, their blood work, it can cause sometimes liver toxicity. It can cause a rash. So we monitor their skin exam and pain control if needed. A lot of these people also go through depression and anxiety, and having those supportive measures and kind of having them, you know, explain that this is part and parcel of treatment, and supporting them in those ways would be very useful.
I've seen it in the supportive department that we really try to focus on the quality of life and really normalizing patients being on medication long term. So, you know, I try to be very proactive in education, medication management, obviously constant teaching to tell you about side effects. You know, as the oncologist, when you spot these things early and we're a little more proactive, I find that patients do better. I would hope that you agree, right?
Absolutely. 100%. Every patient should have this resource available to them and should make full use of it, because absolutely, it means a lot, and it changes the way the patient manages their side effect, is much more aware, you know, reports to us, and it's all about prevention. Before the side effect gets bad, you know about it and you can take care of it.
Absolutely. Now, when we talk about severe adverse effects, which can happen sometimes, can you talk a little about dose reductions in how patients should present to you? I know in my experience, some patients say, oh, I only had a little bit of this. But again, it's very important to have patients have that dialogue with you. And I've heard, and I know from practicing with you, that you can do dose reductions effectively to help manage patients, correct?
Absolutely. So the way, again, I approach this with my patients is that every side effect, no side effect is small. Every side effect, whatever the experience, they're supposed to let us know so that we can preemptively act on it right away. Sometimes if you wait too long, it's too late, and side effects can be irreversible. For example, neuropathy. You know, if you wait too long on it, your nerves are get damaged and they are irreversible. So yes, we absolutely, the first thing we do when we grade the side effects. So if we see it's like grade 3 or higher, we hold the medication for a week, let the patient come out of the side effect, give them supportive measures, and then restart at a lower dose. If the side effects are grade 1 or 2, then we just decrease the dose by one level and we do it. But yes, absolutely, dose reductions, dose interruptions are part and parcel of targeted therapy, especially because they are long-term medication. It's not a fixed duration like chemo. It's long-term medication as long as patient can tolerate. So yes, these are part and parcel of treatment.
Now, again, we're mentioning some oral therapies. We mentioned a lot of these targeted therapies as being pills that patients take at home. Are we able to monitor for medication adherence?
Yes, that is a good point. We rely a lot on the patient for this, but we are able to, like family members, you know, especially if they're elderly, making sure they have a pill box, and we monitoring. We also have a nurse checking on them. Sometimes we also ask them to bring their like pill bottle to see if, you know, what has been taken. Of course, we rely heavily on the patient, but we try to monitor as much as we can.
I know we've used our in-house pharmacy. We had a good discussion with Rob Negri, our pharmacy director, and we talked about how sometimes they also have a second check on that. When they're filling these prescriptions, they're going over a lot of the side effect management. I think having that double layer is very essential in practice for these patients.
Absolutely, I agree.
Now, I know we mentioned a bunch of specific mutations. Is there anything else related to the ALK-positive lung cancer field or disease that you think is important to mention? Maybe tools to strategize or screening that we should be doing?
So I think one thing that we know, again, like I mentioned, ALK-positive mutation is good prognosis. There's targeted therapy. I think finding this out early, so just, you know, few years before, it could only be tested in stage 4 cancers, but now finding this early is very important because you can use it as neoadjuvant. You can even use it in early stage cancers. It is also used as in early stage cancers after they've had their surgery as a preventive measure. It's given as a prophylaxis for 1 to 2 years and then you stop it. So yes, absolutely. My recommendation is every non-small cell lung cancer patient should have this tested as part of their NGS profile.
What do you think the future looks like?
So the future looks great, as you can see from all the research. And you can see a few years ago, we had one ALK inhibitor, one tyrosine kinase inhibitor. Now we have many, we have better ones. The ones, every tyrosine kinase inhibitor that's coming out is, you know, better and crossing the blood-brain barrier. There's decrease in brain metastases. So I think in one line to summarize the future is a non-small cell lung cancer is very much treatable. The prognosis is good, especially when you have one of these targetable mutation, and life expectancy is much better with these mutations.
I think it's amazing to hear that. And I know how far we've come in the last 20 years. I can't imagine the next 20. So we appreciate you going over this with us and having such a great outlook on it. And I can't wait to share this to all the patients out there.
Oh, thank you so much for having me here.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining us today in our second series of Conquering Cancer Together. I hope you found it informative and enjoyed listening today. We welcome your feedback, so feel free to send us a note in the comments. We hope you tune in for more episodes of our second podcast series, sponsored by Pfizer. We're also all over social media, so please find us and like us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. In addition to our social media outlets, you can always find us close to home, Conquering Cancer Together.